Welcome into In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. This is Nick McNamara in studio, filling in for Brandon Peoples as he's off having fun at the Kansas City's parade right now, celebrating the Chiefs' victory. So if he's listening, hope you're having fun. He's probably driving right now, actually. But we'll be looking forward to hearing the report. I'm not sure I envy him. It's a little cold out there, personally.
Tad cold.
Yeah, a little bit. Not my thing. No, I'm not the best at cold. I know Dave came in here and said he's allergic to the cold. I agree. In studio with us, we'll start the show off with school discussions from Manhattan Ogden USD 383. We have Superintendent Dr. Marvin Wade and Carla Hagemeister. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Good morning.
Yeah, thanks for having us in, Nick.
And did you watch the Super Bowl?
Of course, yeah.
Are you big Chiefs fans yourselves?
Yes.
The one football game I watched this year was the Super Bowl.
I
disturbed my computer-loving son by cheering nice and loud for the Chiefs.
There you go. Okay. I'm with you there. I'm not the biggest football fan. I checked it out. I had fun. I enjoyed it. And it's good to see everyone very happy. So I was pleased with the results, that's for sure. But we're going to get into some other discussions here and talk about some more serious things and as much fun as it would be to talk about the Chiefs all day. You all are part of a program of now five districts. You're being inducted into it. It's called the Get Schools Cooking Program. And could you, Dr. Wade, tell me a little bit about that program and sort of how you all got to be a part of that?
Okay. Probably should start with Stephanie Smith, the director of child nutrition, mm-hmm. that she's always got great ideas that for what we can do to provide better meals to our students. In fact, her department, Child Nutrition, got an award in 2018-2019. It's an award for best practice and outstanding customer service. So that's just – I mean, that's not this, but it's just another example of how she's always looking for opportunities to improve what we're doing. And this program, the Get Schools Cooking, is a national program that was created by – a cook or a chef who wanted to see schools get away from the processed meals, the heat and serve meals, and to start getting back to having meals from scratch. So they created a foundation, got money to provide an application process for schools to say, you know, we have a commitment to this, we're going to make it work, and our district was one of the five districts that were picked for this. And it's a three-year process where it's located in Boulder, and there's a training program there where they study finance, they study human resources, they study nutrition, they study equipment, a lot of different things that go into operating a food service child nutrition program. And the idea is to learn more about how we could have a sustainable, made-from-scratch meal program within our district. So they go, they get trained. We have an evaluation of our food service program. What are our current practices? What are some things we could do differently? Then they help us start training people, getting the program going. They do on-site visits. There is a $35,000 allotment for purchasing equipment or technology in order to make the change. But it's something we've wanted to do as we look at sustainability, we look at higher quality foods, as we look at decreasing the footprint of things like styrofoam and plastic, things like that in our schools. You know, our staff, our students, our parents all tell us that's important, that we want nutritious meals. And I know the woman who started the program, she is a chef. Her name's Ann Cooper. And one of the things that got her starting this was the fact that diabetes seems so rampant, and that there's these statistics about the students born at the time she started this program. I think it was one in three of them would end up being diabetic. And are there things that we could do in the schools to set them off on a better course for their future? So that's how we ended up being involved in it. There was an application. It is a competitive process. And Stephanie and her team did a really good job of giving the information that was necessary to show our commitment. So that in a nutshell, I'd love to have her come in sometime and talk about it, because it really is, it's a great opportunity for us.
Yeah, see if you can get that moving. That might be really interesting to hear. And as you said, it's really competitive. It makes this, I believe this round brought in five new districts into a group of 15. And Applicants come from across the country. North Carolina was one of the districts that got accepted in this round alongside mm-hmm. your district, and then some from Tennessee and other places.
Different places, different sizes. That's another great thing about this.
And what do you imagine the transformations in terms of your nutritional offerings will look like? I know it's very preliminary, but what are some of your hopes maybe to see out of this, and how might it differ from what is offered today?
Carla?
I look at it as the next step forward from where we currently are. I was really impressed when I was onboarded as a school board member. We did tours of a lot of our facilities, and one of the things that we visited was the central kitchen. And I learned so much in that visit with them about how much they are already in our district preparing foods from scratch, a lot of the breads, the breakfast materials, a lot of things like that. They're already using fresh fruits and vegetables, trying to locally source things. But there's just so much that you can do, kind of doing it, going it on your own. And so I look at this as a really good opportunity to do that examination of where are we already, because we already have those building blocks, and those are already our principles and foundations. And then this is a great step for us to look at where do we go next. So I'm excited to see that.
And it's just a continuation of those efforts to try to do, be more efficient, to have higher quality meals. One of the misperceptions, I think, is that people think that all of our foods are prepackaged, or that they are prepared in one place and then shipped all across town to the schools. And that's not necessarily the case, that we do already have a lot of the things prepared in the schools. But this will allow us to be able to do even more.
And $35,000 doesn't hurt either. I'm sure that can go a long way for a number of different things. Do you have any idea sort of where maybe that'll help fill gaps for you all, or is that something you just have to plan out as time comes?
The first thing that says to me, the $35,000, is like sometimes for getting grants, okay, that $35,000 can be matched with one or two other grants, some kind of a district contribution, and all of a sudden it goes from $35,000 to $300,000 just because of what that can do for us for opening the doors for other things.
And if you do end up getting Ann Cooper to come on out, let us know. We'll be very interested to hear what she has to say to you all. But hey, I saw another thing in the news too, so I think we'll maybe transition a little here. You're looking for mascot and color suggestions for your new elementary school, Oliver Brown Elementary. And I understand you're taking suggestions all the way through Leap Day.
That's right, we are. We are adding an elementary school, so we will move from 9 schools to 10 schools. I think a great test would be to see how many of us can name our current elementary schools, their current mascots, and their current colors. I made it through all the mascots, all the schools. I don't know that I could give you all the colors off the top of my head. But it really generated some fun conversation for us at home this past weekend once that was announced, to talk about what are the principles involved in picking a mascot, what sort of things are important when you're considering that, where are we at right now, and what will it look like in the future, and what might sound great and fun today might not be so great 50 years from now. And these are fun decisions, but they're really important decisions. And it's exciting to have the opportunity to have input from the community, and then to have our students also making the final decision.
We've already had a lot of suggestions, and we'll continue to take those suggestions and then have the students vote on it, and then take the results of the student vote to the board for consideration. Ultimately, it is the board's decision about what the mascot will be, what the colors will be. But I know that student input is going to be important.
And it's great that you're involving. I think it's 4th through 6th graders are going to have a say in the process. Am
yes.
I right? That'll be great. And, you know, as a kid, I probably really would have enjoyed having a hand in that too. So I hope that the students take some enjoyment out of it themselves too. And I'm also glad you didn't actually quiz me on that. Personally, I think I wouldn't have done very well. But you at home, think about that. Think about that quiz and see if you can name all the school mascots and colors in Manhattan, Ogden, USD 383.
I was thinking that too. Okay, I can name the schools. I could get the mascot. I wouldn't know the colors, not all of them.
I think the colors is the sticking
point. Yes.
I think my hometown has 4 different school districts. I won't even attempt to try that for that out there anyway. You mentioned a little bit about sort of how you pick mascots. When you think about mascot choices, what are some guidelines or important things that you keep in mind as this conversation progresses?
So I have a 6th grader at my house, and So when this conversation came up over the weekend, we talked about it. She was interested in what Oliver Brown did for a living. Was there a connection to him as a person, to his career? And she kind of went off in that direction. We did a little bit of researching. She was thinking he was a farmer. I thought, I don't think so. He was a welder and a minister by trade. So, you know, does that lend itself to some sort of idea out of that? I don't know. Then we talked about our connection to Kansas, that it was important in naming the school. We wanted a Kansas connection. We wanted something connected to our home. And looking at that, are there animals that are native to Kansas that aren't currently represented in our current mascots that would be complementary towards that? We also talked about that the school is located in that Green Valley area. It's out in a rural area right now, suburban maybe you would call it, and there's houses developing. But right now there's a lot of nature out there. So we were talking about what sort of things are found in nature in that immediate vicinity and how does that lend itself. I really personally, I did a little bit of campaigning in my household for the bees, some sort of bee connection with thinking about honeybees, thinking about the production of honey in Kansas, the wellness portion of it, the connection to nature. So, I mean, there's so many different directions you could go, and you could talk to every different classroom of kids, and they could campaign and give us probably a wonderful idea for each of those different things. And I think those are the things that went through my head when I was thinking about it.
And of course, there's always the visual image, and if there were to be a costume to go along with it, just some of those kind of things. That how practical is it going to be down the road?
Now, there's a lot that has to go into making a decision too. I know my university, my old university, is we have a new mascot, even though it's not the official mascot. And then it's a whole can of worms that you get into sometimes thinking about costuming too.
Let me go back to something from way back in the past on the costuming too, because with the mascot situation and Manhattan High Indians, and I want to go over all of mm-hmm. those things again, mm-hmm. but people might like to know that there has been progress in terms of selecting a costume for the physical individual who will wear it to be at basketball games, football games, volleyball matches, those kind of things. They have selected the wolf costume and have ordered it. It may not be here for this year, but it will be ready for the beginning of next school year. We were hoping to have it, you know, this year at some point in time. Maybe not. But I just want to let people know we haven't talked about it for a while, but that we're moving forward on that.
All right, something to look forward to. And before we head off to break, I will mention that we do have a groundbreaking coming for the elementary school as well. Oliver Brown coming up this Friday at 3:30.
That's right. We'll be out there. We were talking before we came on this morning that we would have wished for Sunday's weather on Friday, but no matter what, it'll be a great opportunity. The groundbreaking will be at the site, obviously, which is off of Green Valley Road. At 3:30, you go north on Green Valley Road, turn right onto Junietta, and the site for the school is at the corner or intersection of Junietta and Moody, and you will see plenty of people and the white banner that announces the location for the school, and we're excited to invite the community to attend that.
Sorry for interrupting. And people should probably wear boots. Not because of snow, but it's a little bit muddy right now.
Yeah, there's still work going on over there, so it's not going to be all completely landscaped, correct?
No, it
yeah,
won't be.
Yeah. All right, we're going to have to head off to a break. We'll be back with more Manhattan Ogden USD 383 here on In Focus. You're listening to News Radio KMAN.